Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:04 the time, hour two, here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Thursday, May 2nd, 2024 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 71 degrees. We're looking at a high today of 84, maybe even 85, they say. So just a few notches below what we had yesterday, and yesterday was downright hot. Felt like mid-July. But we will get some clouds rolling in. There is a chance for a shower later in the afternoon, and definitely tonight with about an 80% chance with a low of only 68 degrees. And then we're looking at tomorrow, 77 degrees for a high, so a little bit cooler than it is today. And rain is in the forecast, about a 50% chance of rain tomorrow. Saturday looks to be getting a little nicer as the minutes move along, as the forecast always consistently changes. And hopefully it'll be nice weather for the Showboats kickoff at 11 o'clock as they'll take on the Birmingham Stallions. Second hour of the program is brought to you each and every day by our friends at James Gattis Jewelers. They are your family's jeweler at 4900 Poplar, between Mendenhall and St. Nick, on the web at GattisJewelers.com. I think you know by now, they are your bridal, engagement, and anniversary jeweler headquarters. They've been serving Memphians and Mid-Southerners for a quarter century, and a lot of folks have purchased their engagement rings and wedding rings from James Gattis Jewelers. But it's also Mother's Day, a week from Sunday. Get mom something special, like a beautiful pair of earrings or a necklace or a bracelet, and James Gattis Jewelers has it for you. In fact, right now, starting today and going through Saturday, it's the James Gattis Jewelers Stacktacular event. Stack and save on all bands and bracelets. You get 20% off when you purchase one, 30% off the second, 40% off the third. Mama, grandmom, whoever in your family, got a birthday coming up, graduation present, it makes an awful lot of sense to take advantage of it now with these great savings at James Gattis Jewelers. You can shop online 24/7. At James, or make that GattisJewelers.com, or just stop by and see the folks at James Gattis Jewelers. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings, James Gattis Jewelers. All right, so yesterday we were talking about the story that was out there about Andre Turner, and several different sources have confirmed. I think Doc Holliday was the first to have the story that the little general, the former Memphis Tiger guard, terrific player, terrific guy. Andre is a friend of the show, and I reached out to him yesterday. Obviously, he's busy right now, but hopefully he'll get back to me. But confirmed by several outlets that Andre will be leaving Lane College, where he was the head coach for the past three seasons. Before that, he was the head coach at his alma mater, Mitchell High School. And now he'll become a part of Penny Hardaway's staff. What's interesting is, there were some stories out there yesterday that it's not necessarily a replacement, that he will be added to the staff. Now, there's been rumbling since the season ended that there will be staff changes. But right now, there has not been any moves. You talked about yesterday the contracts currently for the coaches ran out the other day. So we'll see if there's any movement as far as that's concerned. But, you know, Penny has had healthy staffs as far as numbers. So, you know, I certainly could see where they can find that position, give him a title, as long as Andre Turner is, you know, compensated well for that. He's not making that move if that wasn't happening. It's going to be a great addition to Memphis to have that guy on staff. Just a delightful human being to talk to.
Well, that's these staffs continue to grow, whether it be in college basketball, college football. There are new titles, new positions, it seems, created every year. There are new people. So certainly if it's not as an assistant coach per se, they can find a place, a title for him. And yeah, he'll be a good addition. Obviously, a lot of folks here will be happy to have another former Tiger on that staff with Penny.
As far as the portal is concerned, the portal is now closed. They actually put a lock on it. It's a big lock.
Just the entrance.
You can get out.
The exit's open.
That's true. The exit's open. But a big padlock on the front of the portal, the entrance. But yesterday there was a story about Cyan James, who played at Tulane, played against Memphis. And at first it was that Cyan James was visiting the Memphis Tigers. But then came the story that, no, we think he was visiting the Memphis Grizzlies. Because the Grizzlies are starting to do that. It's that time of year where they start to look at candidates for the draft. It's unfortunate that Memphis will be picking in the draft lottery after a horrible year caused by injuries. But it is what it is. So you now start to look at all possibilities. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of different possibilities for what the Grizzlies will end up doing. But right now they have the first round pick, which will be in the lottery, and we'll find out where they'll pick with the draft lottery coming up in several weeks. And then they have, if I'm not mistaken, 2 second rounders,
there's
correct?
1 week from Sunday.
1 week from Sunday, so Mother's Day.
Yep.
And then 2 second round picks, correct?
They have, yes, I believe 2 second round picks.
Okay. But again, the James story was interesting. 6'6" slash guard slash forward from Tulane, that it was probably visiting with the Grizzlies as opposed to the Tigers.
And he so they could do both.
You never know. I don't even know if this guy's NBA material, but it is what it is. That's a story that's out there. TJ Bamba, who visited Memphis over the past weekend, there was again a story out there that he had committed to Oregon. Now, I didn't see that followed up by any of the local beat writers, and we'll have Parth Upadhyay joining us on the show at 9:25, and I'll ask him that question. But I know he was here in Memphis, Oregon, for a while now since he jumped into the portal out of Villanova, seemed to be at the top of the list. Other than that, I don't know what's happening, but I guarantee you Parth will, as far as that is concerned. So whether it be the coaching staff, whether it be players, as Penny still has to fill a number of spots, there's a number of openings on that roster, and later on in the month, we'll find out about David Jones' intentions. But it does seem like there's more of a rhyme and a reason for everything that's going on. And as Penny said in his coach's show, his television coach's show on Channel 5, that he hopes to have everything wrapped up by June, have the players all on campus, to have them here all summer, to be able to build that continuity and that chemistry. And hopefully things will be a lot different. In the meantime, he still has some more spots on his schedule to fill out. Maybe 3 games, if I'm not mistaken, where a couple of them will be bye games. And I think maybe one more looking for a decent opponent for the home schedule. We know that they've already signed those deals with Ole Miss and Mississippi State for home and homes, which will include the Rebels and the Bulldogs coming to Memphis, both of them, this upcoming year. That means Memphis will return trips to Oxford and Starkville the year after. And, of course, the conversation about whether or not he'll be able to eventually get a deal with John Calipari for a home-and-home with Arkansas. I will believe it when I see it. I still think Cal wants to play neutral court games. And, I don't know if he's enamored with playing a game here in Memphis. But give it time. He's just getting into his position as the Razorbacks head coach.
Yeah, I don't know whether that ever, I wouldn't think it's likely, but maybe possible. And maybe they could do something similar to what they did, or they tried to do. It didn't end up getting all played with Tennessee, where maybe you do one in Fayetteville, one in Memphis, one in Little Rock, something like that type series with Arkansas.
Yeah, that's would be great. I don't know. I don't know what kind of, schedule. It's going to be similar to what Cal always does, because he's changing locales within the same conference. So you got the SEC. Who's their challenge against? The SEC, is it?
They have the ACC.
The ACC. So you got those games. You know what your conference schedule is going to be as far as the teams, and then you're adding Texas and Oklahoma. He always plays a strenuous non-conference schedule. As a blue blood, you expect to do that. But now at Arkansas, I don't think it will change much that he will continue to play that type of schedule. He'll be in those big tournaments, early season tournaments. In the meantime, for Kentucky, with Mark Pope taking over, the roster that he's putting together, and he's doing a pretty good job in the portal. Aaron Torres tweeted this out yesterday. You talk about a veteran team. And it doesn't always work with the veteran teams. Kentucky knows that firsthand from the past. But also, there have been times with a younger team that hasn't worked. You know, I think it's got to be the right mixture. But here's the Kentucky roster that Pope's putting together. Lamont Butler, fifth-year senior. Amari Williams, fifth-year senior. Andrew Carr, fifth-year senior. Kobe Brea, fifth-year senior. Kerr Crissa, fifth-year senior. Colin Chandler, 21-year-old freshman. So you got...
Are you a 21-year-old freshman?
I don't know. But if Torres wrote it down here and tweeted it out, I'll believe it. So you have all these fifth-year seniors. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know all these guys. But if it's the right combination of guys where you have your alphas, you have your supplementary guys, not unlike Memphis a couple of years ago, then it could work. If it's guys that all need their shots, need the ball, you have problems with NIL internally, then it could be a disaster. It's a crapshoot anymore. And recruiting's always a crapshoot. I understand that. But normally, in the past, it was you get the guys committed, you develop the players over several years. By the time they're an upperclassman, they become an integral part of your team. Now you don't know if in 1 year they're going to leave, if they don't play. There's so much that goes into it now. And filling rosters with players that are already, you know, have played for one, if not multiple schools.
It is a new version of the one and done. The one and done on the tail end of the career. Or somewhere in the middle of the career. But a lot of one and done's these days in college basketball. At least one and done with that program. Might be four different one and done's in their career, but they're one and done generally with the program. But not a whole lot of guys who are sticking it out for 3 years in one program in college basketball.
Yesterday we were talking about the strong possibility of revenue sharing eventually coming to collegiate athletics. And with this a growing possibility, there is a story that Heather Dinich wrote for ESPN that some bowl leaders are hoping that there will be a collective bargaining agreement among the players and the schools, because it will help with the opt-outs of those players for their bowl games. In other words, if you are signed to a contract and receive compensation, you're going to be obligated to perform certain duties. So those duties could include completing a 12-game regular season if there's playoffs for your team, or a bowl game for your team, whatever the case may be, you are obligated to play. So I can see their point of view where it can help. Not that there is this mass exodus of players opting out, but we know the top-tier players have been opting out. What would happen in that situation if there is that compensation through a collective bargaining agreement, and those players who would normally ditch the bowl game now have to play, or they won't be compensated? Will you see the stars play? And I'm talking about stars who their team is not necessarily a playoff team. They're playing in a regular bowl game. For example, somebody's playing in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl game. Last year you had Iowa State, you had Tampa, the defensive back for Iowa State. I forget what round he ended up going in the draft, but a highly regarded player who opted out. in a case of a CBA to get his compensation, he would have to play in that game.
Yeah, but and certainly I don't know the legalities of it. But to me, I don't. The only thing you could say is that I would think the only thing you put in there is that like you wouldn't. You can't say you're not getting compensated for the entire season if you choose not to play in a bowl game.
Well, they have to do something.
So you'd be you're not going to get compensated for the bowl game if you don't play. But if I'm going to be a high draft pick, I don't care if I'm compensated for the bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point you bring up, which I haven't seen in this story. Yes, what are you going to do? Hold their paycheck for the entire season? And I say paycheck, and I mean paycheck when I say that. You can't, right? So what's the difference? You know, I mean, 1/12 or 1/13 of your pay you do not get? That's a lot different than being able to hold the entire check back if you don't play in that game. I wonder how they would enforce that. That is interesting that you bring that up.
Certainly from the bowl people's perspective, yes, I would imagine, yes, they would love to have something in there that tries to encourage more guys to play in the bowl game rather than opt out. But again, I don't know what the legalities of that could possibly be and how you could do it where it would be a real incentive for a top-notch guy. Again, for somebody who's planning on being a high draft pick in the NFL draft, like provide it to where it would be enough incentive for them to play in that bowl game. I have no idea.
Well, with the addition of 8 more teams in the playoff, that helps as well, because not that there isn't players from every conference. You have 12 teams as opposed to 4 that are playing for all the marbles. They're playing for the national championship. And you would think that those players that are going to be high draft picks still want to play in a playoff game, in a national championship game. We don't see, or we haven't seen since the 4-team playoff was enacted, a number of guys jumping out and not playing in that game. There may be a player or two, and I can't even recall off the top of my head. But you're going to have more players.
They're not going to opt out of the playoff. But
you wouldn't think, right? I
mean, maybe with it being expanded, if 12, 14 teams, maybe there is a guy or two that ends up, but it's not going to be many, if it is at all, that opt out of those. It's certainly the other bowl games that are the ones that have to deal with it.
Yeah, and that's the other point they make, that with the additional teams, the additional playoff games, that those players from those teams will be more willing to stay and play as opposed to opt out and not participate. But again, the other games, the other bowl games, the games that aren't involved in the playoff, we're talking about players that may stay and play because of a collective bargaining agreement, not if, when that happens.
Moving can be stressful, but when you got the right professionals to help you move, well, that takes a lot of that stress out of the moving process for you. If you have a move coming up, maybe moving to a new home, maybe a new office space, whatever it is, and wherever it is, maybe it's across town, maybe it's across country, wherever it is, that doesn't matter either. Folks at Black Tie Moving, they're there to help, and again, they're there to make that process as easy as they possibly can on you. All you need to do is pick up the phone or go to the website. You can call 901-316-6196, or you can go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis. Talk with the folks from Black Tie Moving. They work with you coming up with that plan for your move, fitting both your needs and fitting your budget. And you get a no-obligation quote up front, so you know exactly what it's going to cost. You don't want to try and do it yourself, asking friends to help you, all that stuff. Get the professionals. Make sure you know your stuff's getting where it's going without any problems. They'll do really as much or as little as you want. Again, that's part of the process, working with them to come up with exactly what you need from them for your move, and then know that it's going to go smoothly. 901-316-6196, or go to the website blacktiemoving.com/Memphis. Get the professional to help you with your move, Black Tie Moving.
We're talking Major League Baseball with Kerry Miller when we return. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:30 the time. The Thursday, May 2nd, 2024 edition of Sports 56 Mornings. If you missed hour number one, we talked a lot about the NBA playoffs and also visited with Showboats offensive lineman Jordan McRae. If you missed any of our interviews, you could always check out the podcast. Go to sportsmemphis.com. We break down each show hourly. Listen at your leisure. We also post a number of the interviews under the featured audio topic, and you can go ahead and pluck that interview out, listen to it again whenever you like, 24/7 at memphissports.com. Time now to talk some baseball with Kerry Miller.
It's time to talk some baseball. Joining Greg and Eli is Kerry Miller from the Bleacher Report. Here's Kerry with Greg and Eli.
He's back, baby. Kerry Miller from Bleacher Report covers Major League Baseball, college basketball. You can follow him on Twitter at Kerrence James. Hopefully you're relaxed and ready to rock and roll here. We got a long season to go. How are you?
I'm doing good. It was a nice little time off. We went to Hawaii, which I now want to move there for sports viewing purposes. Games were done for the day by 7 p.m. It was glorious.
It is a little weird, though, because when they're on at, like, 6 a.m., like, it just gets a little confusing.
Yeah, it was, every day was the Soul Series, right? It's waking up, rolling out of bed, and able to watch some games.
I've been there a number of times, and I can't do it. I mean, it's just, it's weird. Like Eli said, it's weird. I wouldn't be able to get used to it, having games over by that early in the day and then have your whole day after that. I'm used to doing everything during the day or the morning and then the afternoon, and then my sports viewing at night, so I have to change my habits. All right, let's start off with the, again, it doesn't look like it's season ending according to reports, but it's devastating. You're talking about one of the faces of baseball, off to another great start. I think it's 5 years in a row that Mike Trout has been hurt, and I don't know what the deal is with the Angels. I don't know if they built that stadium on an ancient burial ground or what have you, but they have bad luck with a capital B. Shohei's obviously gone, and now Trout is injured.
Yeah, just like you're saying, devastating. I mean, excuse me, they even with him getting out to an incredible start, right? I think when he got hurt, he was leading the majors in home runs. They're still 9 games below 500, right? Yeah. Typical Angels baseball, even when things are going right, they're not going right. So, yeah, we'll see what the extent of the injury is. Like you said, they said it's not necessarily season-ending, but with Trout, you always worry if it's going to be. I mean, what was it, two summers ago, we thought it was a career-ending back injury, mm-hmm. right? And then he was back mashing a couple of weeks later, but it sucks. It sucks to lose the star of the game. I mean, we've been losing star pitchers left and right. Now we're down one of our best hitters, and it feels like Aaron Judge is going the way he's hitting. So
right.
It's been a weird year. You know, I was looking through like the, you know, who's leading the majors in wins above replacement right now. Obviously, Mookie Betts is up there at the top. But aside from that, it's like all young hitters and pitchers that like probably 80% of people have never heard of. Like Ranger Suarez is leading the majors in WAR. What the heck did I miss the last 2 weeks? My word.
Overall, offense is down.
Yeah.
Has it just gotten to the point where the pitchers just throw too freaking hard for these guys to hit it consistently?
Yeah, I don't get what it is, because like, obviously we changed the rules to try and promote more offense. And even with so many ace-level pitchers on the IL, we're still, I think the strikeout rate is slightly down from where it ended last season. I think usually as the season progresses, strikeouts do reduce a little more. So we might we may have hit a tipping point there in terms of the three true outcomes, but batting average on balls in play is way down compared to usual. And yeah, I think there is just that element of the, you know, fastballs are faster than ever. So even though pitchers are throwing fewer fastballs than usual, it is just tougher to hit a ball. We're seeing the injuries to pitching arms on the rise because they're working so hard to keep you from hitting the ball. But, you know, it's tough.
Yankees and Orioles just played a three-game set. 2-0, 4-2, 2-0. I think the Orioles won the first two, and then the Yankees took the last game of that series. So to your point, again, there's two teams that really can mash the ball, yeah. But pitching dominated in that three-game series. Two of the better teams in Major League Baseball. Why? Look, I love the game, and I'm old school, but why did I not love three basic pitchers' duels as opposed to... Am I just too much into the modern baseball where I need to see a 9-7 game?
Yeah, I think in the stadium, I enjoy a pitcher's duel more. But on TV, I think we need runs. I don't know if that's just an oddity of viewing the game. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, with the Orioles and Yankees, right, you expect more runs than that. Especially, you know, again, missing pitchers, right? No Garrett Cole, no Grayson Rodriguez, and, you know, Aaron Judge. I think the Orioles are leading the majors in home runs, and nobody was really hitting in that series. So it is a little bizarre that was such a low-scoring series, but I don't think it's necessarily, you know, the occasional pitcher's duel is great. You just, if it's going to be a 2-0 game, though, you want to have a no-hitter in play, right?
Yeah.
You need something to be rooting for.
The other, and the other thing, I don't know, at this point, there's not much more they can do rule-wise, I guess, to try and help offense. Again, unless they started messing with the mound and moving it or whatever, like, I don't know what else you can do as far as that is concerned. One other thing, though, that is, I guess, probably reared its ugly head more than that certainly Major League Baseball would like so far, is really just poor umpiring. Because Angel Hernandez continues to be a story seemingly every time he is behind the plate, especially you had the stupid ejection of Aaron Boone for saying nothing because a fan yelled something. Like, what do you think we will get the robot umpires in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think it's coming. I was reading something that Jeff Passan wrote for ESPN just this morning. He actually pointed out that you know, percentage-wise, ball strikes calls have increased like year over year for like 16 straight years. But the ones that they miss do seem to be worse than ever this year. Like they're missing consecutively, just, you know, almost a full foot off the plate. Like it's crazy. It's like they're blinking at the wrong time. Especially Angel Hernandez. I remember when the eclipse happened, there were jokes that Angel Hernandez missed the eclipse. But I think it's coming. I mean, we've seen it in the minors for what, four years now or something, the automatic umpiring system, ABS, AUS, whatever they're calling it. It could be coming our way within the next year. I don't think it'll be a robot is calling everything. I think it'll be more replay initiated. Hopefully they can get it as quickly done as they do in tennis, or else we're going to just throw away all of the gains we've made in the speed of the game over the last 2 years. But yeah, I think robot umps are imminent.
About 30 games into the season, and one of the stories, and I keep waiting for them to wake up, is Houston. Houston has 10 wins. They got 5 wins less than the Oakland A's, for goodness sakes. They're in last place in the American League West. They just sent Abreu to the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with Houston? I can't believe they're this inept.
Yeah, and they were 7-19, right? Their worst 26 game start since 1969.
Oh wow!
Worse than they were when they were intentionally trying to lose games a decade ago. That's how bad it's been. I think a lot of it has just been pitching health, right? I mean, Verlander started the season on the IL. I think he's made 2, maybe now 3 starts. Valdez was out for a bit. Now Javier's out, and then you know, Hunter Brown, JP France, Spencer Arrighetti, all their young pitchers are struggling. Their veteran pitchers are hurt. Josh Hader hasn't been pitching well, although he did go 2 innings the other night. I didn't know he was allowed to do that. I don't think he's done that in 5 years. But for the Hader and Presley's combo in the 8-9 innings to not be as dominant as we thought it would be, I think that alone has cost the Astros like 4 or 5 wins already this season. So I think, you know, Bregman finally homered the other night. Eventually, Chaz McCormick will wake up. I'm not throwing in the towel on the Astros yet. I still think they're probably maybe not necessarily a postseason team, but they'll be in the running. But yeah, a brutal start that I don't think anybody saw coming.
It's like, you know, there are, it seems like the start of the season has been pretty much what people thought it would be. Like, the teams that we thought would be good have been good. The teams that we thought were disasters, like the White Sox, they're disasters. Like, for the most part, the season right now has gone to script for most teams.
Yeah, I think if you switched the Royals and the Astros records, the American League would be almost exactly what we thought it could be. I think the Brewers leading the NL Central is a pretty big surprise after all the, you know, kind of embracing tanking moves that they made this offseason. But the NL Central has been, you know, outside of the Pirates falling apart over the last 2 weeks, you know, really impressive. Maybe you could make the argument it's been the best division top to bottom, which I don't think really anybody saw coming.
I've actually been impressed. Oh, by the way, Kerry Miller joining us here on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. I've been impressed so far, believe it or not, with everybody in the AL Central other than the White Sox. I did not expect four teams to be this many games over 500. Even Minnesota, I expected to be there, and they're in fourth right now at 17-13. So you got the Tigers are 5 over 500, the Royals are 6 over 500, the Guardians are 10 over 500. They're actually playing some pretty good ball in that division.
Yeah, I thought the AL Central winner would be a 500 team. I thought the Twins would drop off to some extent. They didn't really, you know, because of the RSN stuff and uncertainty about money, that really hurt that division as a whole, because those are all, you know, kind of small market teams, weren't really able to spend this offseason. Both the Twins and the Guardians seem to just be like, we're just going to run it back again and hope for the best. Obviously, the Royals went out and tried to improve. So did the Tigers. We kind of thought all four of those teams would be right around 500. But yeah, for them to all be 4+ games over 500, and, you know, God, I come back from Hawaii, and the number one thing trending in baseball is a rally sausage. So that's where the Twins are at these days. I love coming home to that. But yeah, I think the top teams in that division are surprising, but they don't seem fluky, if that kind of makes sense. Like the Tigers, I just wrote about this for something this morning, the Tigers infield for a team that's 5 games above 500 has been a disaster. Spencer Torkelson has not homered yet. The Colt Keith, their rookie second baseman, has, you know, they signed him to a 6-year extension before he even played a game, and he's been batting like 150. I mean, Javier Baez, I guess at this point we should expect him to just be a 200 hitter who swings and misses at everything, but he's been terrible. But they're still 5 games above 500. I still think the Tigers could kind of win that division convincingly if they ever wake up.
Well, tell me you wouldn't win a ton of bar bets if right now you went out there and bet somebody that they couldn't guess on the first 3 or 4 shots the number one team in run differential in Major League Baseball. They would guess the Dodgers, they would guess the Braves, they would guess the Phillies. The Kansas City Royals are number one right now at plus 50. Did you know that?
I knew that this morning when I was looking through the standings, but
isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. Yeah, and they're closer now. Could anybody even name him outside of, like, fantasy baseball addicts? James MacArthur,
no.
The guy they got from the Phillies last year for, like, a 20-year-old rookie ball infielder or something. He's been just a lights out closer out of nowhere. It's, everything's coming up Royals right now. And we were like repeatedly saying throughout the offseason that they were one of the biggest winners of the offseason. Like, they, aside from the Dodgers, the Royals went harder than anybody. Went and got Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, I can't even think of who all they loaded up on, but they went really, you know, steered into improving their pitching as much as possible, and it worked. Wonders. I mean, they, I think they're leading the majors in runs allowed by a pretty significant margin, surprisingly, even after all that they did. For Seth Lugo to be, you know, a legitimate potential AL Cy Young candidate right now, after he was a relief pitcher 2 years ago, is pretty wild.
Well, speaking of lights out pitching, how many Cy Young awards do you think Shota Imanaga is going to win? Not five, four, five at least. The dude, they can't touch him. The dude doesn't give up any runs ever.
Yeah, he's been really good. And Yamamoto for the Dodgers, if you take out his that one inning he pitched in the Seoul series, he has like a 1.50 ERA. So the the Japanese NL pitching has taken over. If Kode Senga's good to go the rest of the year, that'd be great. Imanaga's been great, and they certainly need it, because I think the last time I talked to you guys 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Kyle Hendricks might never come back, and that's certainly a continuing trend. I don't know if he'll be pitching again.
Yeah, thankfully he got hurt so that they couldn't put him out there anymore, because it was just ugly to watch what was happening. I mean, and they've got all kinds of injuries right now with Bellinger and Suzuki and everything else. But it's amazing. I mean, Imanaga's blown me away by how good he's been.
Well, what's amazing, like you said, Kerry, with these Japanese pitchers, then you don't even have Ohtani this year, who's not going to pitch. All right, final thing for you. Not sure if I'm sure you're sure now you saw the story, but while you were away in Hawaii, you probably couldn't. Didn't care to even look at it, but the uniforms, the controversy, the uniforms, it's going to change. And how about them throwing Nike under the bus?
Yeah, I mean, that was maybe the biggest thing we consistently talked about throughout spring training. It's been necessary for sure. Like, we haven't even hit the month yet where guys are going to be sweating to the point where we're seeing every little bit of their jock straps, and something's got to change before we get a wardrobe malfunction of the highest order. So
right,
hopefully they actually it works.
Yeah, I can't believe it's even taken this long, but it's going to be rectified. The problem will be rectified. He is Kerry Miller, Bleacher Report. Make sure to read his stuff on Major League Baseball, NCAA basketball, and other things. You can follow him on Twitter at Karen's James. You can catch him every single Thursday talking with us here on Sports 56 Mornings. Kerry, great to have you back. Thank you so much.
You got it. Take care, guys.
You too. Shoot 360 Memphis, folks, from pros, from preps to pros. This is about as cool place as you'll ever see if you want to improve your basketball shooting ability. They will work with you to perfect your shot, to challenge yourself, to compete with others. You can do it all at Shoot 360 Memphis. Learn the proper ways to shoot the ball. They use modern analytics to help you. It's not just going out in the backyard and repetition, repetition, repetition. That helps, but you have to have the proper form, and that's what you learn at Shoot 360 Memphis. So parents and grandparents out there, coaches of players, when you're thinking about putting your players into a certain program, this is one for you. Parents, grandparents, how about a nice little graduation gift or a birthday gift for a loved one in your family, a son, a daughter, a grandchild who loves the game of basketball? This is the same system that stars like Steph Curry use. It's a revolutionary training facility that combines cutting-edge technology with expert coaching to improve shooting skills. The facility is equipped with advanced shooting machines that provide real-time feedback on shooting accuracy and arc and depth. Players can track their progress and analyze their performance. It has been around for a couple of years now in Collierville, but they are moving to a larger facility, a state-of-the-art facility in Cordova. That move will happen June 1st is when they will begin their new Cordova location, or begin at their new Cordova location. You can jump on it right now. You can be registered. All you have to do is contact them at Shoot 360 Memphis. Or stop by in Collierville. Say hello to the folks there and tell them that you want to get registered for the move to Cordova. Shoot 360 Memphis. You can call them. They're great folks. 901-316-5500. It's the future of basketball. It's the future of shooting. It's Shoot 360 Memphis. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Genuine diamonds, baby.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Running on self-control.
So there is now a report. Jovan Buha from The Athletic says that the doubts pick could come as early today as today on Darvid Ham's firing, but that at the very least they expect to have it announced by the end of the week. So I wonder if Charles Barkley will go off on the Lakers front office for blaming the coach for their struggles. But again, Ham, after the stuff, like, he clearly, with what he was saying the other day, knew he was out. Vogel, I guess maybe there's a chance he keeps his job, although again, with Ishbia not being like, you know, hey, he's a coach, like, not no vote of confidence whatsoever, just simply like, no, we haven't made a decision there. That's not a good sign for him. But yeah, there was really no doubt that Ham was going to be on his way out.
Do you know what Ham had left on his contract?
I do not know for sure what his contract was.
Ham's contract, because obviously with a coach, has nothing to do with a salary cap, has nothing to do with being in the luxury tax or anything like that, but yet it's still money, dead money, that you have to pay out to somebody for not doing a job, because this was not fired with cause. This is just they feel that they need to go in a different direction, mainly because you can take it to the bank that Anthony Davis and LeBron James have already had conversations with, was it Pelinka, and with the owner Jeannie Buss. And
I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't matter what his contract was. They don't. Yeah. The Lakers aren't worried about paying a coach.
No, I understand that.
To go away.
That's my point. It doesn't matter. That's why they can get rid of coaches that easily. It's a little bit different when you're talking about players and payrolls and luxury tax and things of that nature.
Yes, he signed a four-year deal between, I think, $12 to $20 million.
12 to 20 total for the 4 years.
For 4 years.
Okay. Yeah. So he's used two. He's coached them 2 years. Correct.
Yeah.
Again, there's the new movie, The Fall Guy, that's out right now, and that's what coaches are at the professional level. They're the fall guy. Collegiate level's a little bit different, because one of the hot stories right now is Prime Time, Coach Prime, and Colorado. Colorado proving you could fire the players, right? It's not the coach getting fired, not necessarily, not at least this at this point.
Not yet.
But you could fire the players. And so that is real interesting, the whole situation with – I like Sanders. I like him. He's a breath of fresh air. He's different. Just like Harbaugh was different. I like these guys that are not cookie cutters. And I don't know if it'll work. Last year it certainly worked.
I don't know.
And not wins and losses necessarily, but attention to that program worked with that hire. But now you got the Suns involved, the whole deal about the players that are leaving and what they have had to say about Shadur and Shiloh and whether they'll be top five picks next year in the draft. Like, every little thing that happens in Colorado now becomes a national story. So in that sense, it's good. The attention that it's getting for a five-win, what did they win, five last year? Four or five?
Four, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
Maybe a five, right? But, like, certainly, again, what Deion did, I think, was great, and to get the attention, all that stuff, it was unbelievable for Colorado. Deion taking shots at FCS football players on Twitter, I can't get on board with that.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Come on, Deion.
That's a little much.
I mean, first of all, you're a coach. Like, act like a at least act a little bit like a coach. I mean, goodness gracious.
I don't mind him acting not necessarily like a coach all the time. Like I said, I don't want the cookie cutter coach. But you're right. Sometimes you have to know your boundaries. But he is almost like Barkley. You know, he has to say something about everything. If he's asked, he's going to tell you. If he's approached, he's going to answer that. And you may not like it. So quickly, Sanders, his sons, and the Colorado football team have become the heels of college football. They're the bad guys. They're wearing the black hats. Yet I...
North Carolina's still the heels of college football.
They're the Tar Heels, though. I think it's great. I think it's great to have that. Kind of your yin and yang, whatever the sport may be.
Yeah, again, I like a lot of stuff. I just don't. I'm not on board with calling out FCS football players on Twitter for their stats.
Now, let me ask you this: if you're the AD at Colorado, I don't know who he is off the top of my head, or she. You have another year. You win four or five games again. Don't get to a bowl game. You know, how quickly does it get old, or does it get old when he's bringing all this attention to the program and to the university?
Oh, there's certainly at some point, like if they're not winning it, you know, it'll be, they'll make a change, or he'll probably just leave. But yeah, I mean, if it's not showing any signs of improvement, you know, last year was a improvement over the year prior.
Sure was.
If they don't, but if suddenly this year they win two games, like then there's some real issues there. Do they take another step forward? We'll see. You know, a bowl game certainly would be nice for them. But heck, they got two really good players on that team. I mean, guys who could be
Hunter.
First round draft picks. Mm-hmm. So like you should be pretty darn good.
Right,
just although, like, again, not it doesn't mean you're like competing for national championships, but you'd think that, hey, just those guys alone would help you be, you know, competitive on most weeks.
Yeah, and when I said top five picks, I said the two Sanders, but no, we're talking about Shadur and we're talking about Travis Hunter. But Chilo's pretty darn good player as well. But how much other talent do they have around them? What has he been able to do? Losing players that he's lost, but also bringing in players. It's a complete revamp of what he had last year. Will there be improvements? Again, they started out like gangbusters, but they're going to have to sustain that through a season if they are to have this successful season that he thinks they can have.
A texter asked, is Spoelstra and Popovich, are they the only coaches that wouldn't be the fall guy? Right now in the NBA, I would say that's probably about it.
Let me think here of any others. No, I think
that's Steve Kerr.
Kerr
would probably be on that list. Right,
even a veteran guy like Rick Carlisle, who's way up there on the all-time wins list, he would be a fall guy. Jason Kidd, I think, would still be a fall guy in Dallas.
I would say Kerr, Spoelstra, Popovich. Those are the three guys who. Kind of the invincible, I guess.
How about Donovan?
No.
Okay. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. Hour number three.
Donovan hasn't won anything with him.
No, I understand. But he is Billy the Kid. Hour three, this is going to be a fun hour. Holly Whitfield's going to join us, the digital director and writer at the Daily Memphian. But you know her from the great blog she wrote for all those years about Memphis. I love Memphis. Just she's fantastic at what she does. She's also written a book about the 100 things you have to do before you die here in Memphis. And the fourth edition is now out. We will talk to her. Who's on the list? Who's off the list? That'll be coming up here at 9:05. And then at 9:25, we'll update you on everything that's happening with Memphis Tigers basketball, portal news, coaching news, recruiting news with Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian as well. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.